You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Support for GigPod is brought to you by Swiss Movement. Quality watches at affordable prices. Check out their website at www.swissmovement.co and get 10% off all watches with the code GIGPOD88.
Welcome to episode 61 of GigPod, the Glasgow Green Podcast. I'm Weedzo and I'm joined on this week's episode by Spunkphone. How you doing, mate?
I'm not too bad, John. I celebrated last night's result a bit excessively, shall we say, and I'm sure the listeners can probably hear that in my voice just now. But a pleasure to be chatting with yourself again, as always, mate. So that's lifting my spirits.
As you say, it was another sensational Celtic win last night. We beat AZ Alkmaar 2-0. The Ange machine keeps on rolling. The train keeps on rolling. It's not going to stop yet. Well, might soon, but not yet anyway. And it was a great win against a good team. And when we did that legendary podcast after the Hearts game, when the twos were in the dumps, I don't think MD could have foreseen this happening, that we'd go on a winning run. Still early days, but no way would I have expected us to beat AZ Alkmaar the way we did.
The rate and the speed at which this sort of turnaround's happened after the first three games without a win has been incredible, really. I thought going into last night, given the kind of teams we'd been up against previously in this winning run that we're on, Jablonec weren't really up to much. Hearts at the weekend, obviously I missed that game, so I can't comment on it too much, in Dundee as well. I thought AZ Alkmaar was going to be the big test, but you know, we had obviously your usual Celtic in Europe moments where we were a wee bit shaky. Joe Hart made that brilliant sort of instinctive save with his foot in the early moments of the game. But other than that, I thought we were pretty measured. It was a pretty comfortable performance. Obviously, they had one or two chances because they are a decent quality outfit. But no, I was really impressed with the way we went about our business last night. And as I say, the speed at which we've turned this around is incredible. And full credit to Ange, the background team, and the players for that as well, because they're playing some really good stuff at the moment.
I mean, as you say, the start was typical dodgy Celtic in Europe. Starfield get turned very early on, and for a terrible minute, I've conceded a penalty, but thankfully, no. Then, as you say, Joe Hart with a great instinctive save on the post. And then, after 10 minutes, I say, like, not really been in it. We scored, and it was back to the old days for Tom Rogic. He really is a player reborn. It was a sensational sort of running cross, and there was Kyogo with a superb finish. Instinctively stuck his foot out to put it in the top corner of the net. And that really was a very, very good Celtic Europe goal. It probably nobody remembered as like goals like, I don't know, knackers against Man U. I mean, it wasn't all being as good as that, but as a team move, it was an excellent goal, wasn't it?
It was fantastic. I was on here a couple of weeks ago, I think. I don't know if this was maybe one of the technical issues podcast that we've had to redo, Rizzo, but I think I was saying at one point Tom Rogic was finished at Celtic, so More inspired punditry from me, and I'm sure that's why the listeners keep coming back. But it was phenomenal last night again, and in the build up to that goal, his close control is just phenomenal. I mean, everyone's always known that with Rogic. I think the only question marks have really been over his fitness and his ability really to last a full 90 minutes. But it was superb there, and the cross ball as well into Kyogo. And it's actually, it looked quite a difficult finish, to be honest. They done really well to actually put that away, because he was on the stretch, obviously, having to sort of throw himself at it, but still managed to finish off what was a superb team move, and it was a great start to the game for us as well.
Actually, when you think about it, mind Rogic was going to go to Qatar. I think it was this time last year, the thought was it was going to leave Celtic. And I don't know that many people would have been bothered. That's how sort of doing the pecking order he was. But no, Ange must really know how to get the best of him, and well done to Ange. I mean, I don't know how long this runoff form will continue, and I always worried about Rogic when he gets to like 60 minutes in a game, he just starts to become knackered all of a sudden. But no, I thought he was excellent last night, and Kyogo's just fantastic. I mean, 6 games, 6 goals, you can't ask for anything more. And don't want to really talk about the derby next week yet, because I'm sure we'll be doing a whole other podcast extravaganzas running about that game. But no, I'm confident that he'll do well that day in the derby. I think he'll cause Rangers all kinds of problems, and hopefully gets a couple of goals to seal another big Ange inspired triumph. But no, that was a brilliant goal. And then we sort of calmed down a bit after that rocky start. We calmed down a bit. Forrest had a great effort saved. They never really had any more like clear-cut chances like they did at the start. And the second half, they did have a good chance right at the start when they blasted it over when they should have scored. But then, just about on the hour mark, we made it 2-0, and it was a goal we'd usually give away in Europe that we scored. It was good play back. Hugo again, he hold the ball up. He passed it to Forrest, and his shot wasn't going in until it took a deflection. And the goalie was stranded, and that was 2-0. And it'll go down as an own goal. I don't get it can be a Forrest goal because it wasn't getting in. But no, that was a Celtic conceded goal in Europe. But we actually scored it for once. It's a miracle.
You know, coming back to that chance, actually, Altmaa, that was a shocker, wasn't it? That miss just at the start of the second half. We definitely got away with one there, I think. But I mean, again, when you're playing against sort of quality opposition or a level up, at least from what we face domestically, you know, they are going to get opportunities, and it's, thank God they never took it, I suppose. But it, again, great team move, I suppose, for the goal, but fortuitous in terms of the actual finish itself, because it definitely wasn't going in with it, the aid of the deflection there. But no, once again, a really impressive team move, and Kyogo again was just fantastic.
Yep, and towards the last 20 minutes, I said it, I thought EZ might tire, but they never, they get more of the ball and we tired. But we sort of did really keep them at arm's length. We brought James McCarthy on, and we actually should have made it 3-0 when the goalie made some incredible double save for Edward, and then Adam Montgomery, I think it was a combination of the goalkeeper, the post, and one of the other players on the line. And I think if we'd won 3-0, we'd have been all but through, but that would have been a bit harsh because they had chances as well. And I think all we wanted was a clean sheet and another win to keep the momentum building. And we got it, and I'm sure next week will be a hard game. And I think they'll create chances, because I still think our defence is a work in progress, as we say every week in the podcast. But no, it was another good win. And the transformation for less than a month ago when we played Midtjylland and then Hearts is just incredible. And hats off to Ange. He's still like pulling no got other players in that he wants. I mean, there's still problems in the team when he saw it. But before we talk about other things, let's talk about Anthony Ralston, who I think had his best ever game for Celtic last night. It was absolutely brilliant. It's so unexpected for him. I mean, he probably got a bad rap, really, off a lot of people, because like, he never sort of did that well, really. I don't think going loan at like St Johnstone and Dundee United, and we've been linked with, I think, 150 right backs, and I think we're going to sign one maybe tomorrow. We'll talk about that a bit more later. But no, Ralston is just been fantastic. And if we do sign this guy, Juranovic, I think it is, Ralston deserves to keep his place in the first team. And I think now that left-back's a bigger issue than a right-back. We'll maybe talk about that in a wee minute. But no, hats off to Anthony Ralston. He's he's been sensational, hasn't he?
I agree with everything you've said there. I think left back is now the bigger issue rather than right back, hasn't he? Nelson's been fantastic. You know, he's even offering a threat going forward these days, which is certainly something that up until a couple of weeks ago, you certainly wouldn't have said he was the sort of guy that you think would have fitted into Ange's system, with the amount of sort of freedom and I suppose responsibility as well, though, that's putting the fullbacks in terms of getting forward and actually trying to be creative for us. But he was fantastic again last night. He had that clearance right at the very end as well, where they sort of cut the ball back across our 6-yard box and he slid in. Fantastic defending for him. But you're right in saying if we do bring in a right back in the next couple of days, which I suspect we will now, he's got to keep his place in the team. He's not done anything where you could say, you know, he can drop him, fully earned his place in the team. And no, it was terrific again last night. And it's incredible, to be honest, the transformation in him. I don't think I've ever seen it. Obviously, there was a lot of players under maybe Rodgers, for example, that went to another level. But with Anthony Ralston, I think it's more just because it's so unexpected. With some of the guys under Rodgers who maybe transformed, your guys like Forrest and Armstrong, I remember, there'll be tons that I'm missing off there as well. But they were guys who you always sort of knew had ability and this, that and the next thing. But with Ralston, as you were saying, I don't think he'd ever really impressed on the loan spells he'd went on there. And people would have thought he was maybe like a bottom end of the Scottish Premiership or Scottish Championship sort of fullback. That was maybe the level he was at. But he's proven his whole wrong at the moment. He was terrific again last night.
For the time being, he should be one of the first names in the team sheet. And he deserves to keep his place for the foreseeable future. And until he gets injured or until he's a bad game, then the right back slot's his. Now, as we say, Joe Hart, I thought, was excellent. That save at the start was brilliant. There was I seen a thing on Twitter last night where somebody pointed out that in the last like couple of minutes, Joe Hart went over to Ange and like says to him, like, we've got to keep it a bit more tight. And then he went round and told all other players to do the same thing. So, and we did sort of tighten it up a bit in the last couple of minutes. So, I mean, I think Joe Hart, who we're all a bit wary about the signing, he's done well. He's got we talked about having a big personality at the start, and that has rubbed off, I think, in the rest of his team. And I think he's enjoying being here. I mean, he'll be delighted to be playing regular football again. And Celtic are a big team, no matter what they say in England. We're still a big team. We even attract the BBC Match of the Day number one commentator, Guy Mowbray, last night. That's who was commentating the game for the Euro 2000, the Euro 2020 final he parked. So I wonder what was better. But, well, actually, I enjoyed them both, that final end. I enjoyed them equally. But, no, Joe Hart's doing well. Everybody's, like, doing well. There's still a couple of slight issues we'll just briefly talk about. Starfield had a very, very dodgy first half, I thought. Played a bit better second half, but Welsh is playing better than him, and I know we're always saying give him time, and we need to give him time, but I don't know, I'm a bit concerned about him in the games next week. He's head away in Ibrox, and I don't really want to slag Greg Taylor that much, because I think he's a no bad player, but I just don't know if he's like Celtic quality. I think he's sort of Premier League quality, and I mean like known Celtic Premier League quality. I mean, he's trying his best, but I don't know. I'm not sure if he'll ever be like Celtic class, if you know what I mean.
I mean, we were saying obviously that I think left back's the bigger worry than right back now, certainly on form. One thing I will give Greg Taylor is he does his fair share of running on that left hand side. I think it's just with the ball, he's I just don't think he's good enough, essentially, on the ball and creatively. But I think that is the only worry there. Starfelt, he did have a shaky start, I thought, to the first half, but I thought he grew into the game, and to be honest, second half, I thought he was fine. So I think him and Welsh, with Joe Hart behind them as well, will be developing a bit more an understanding as they go through each game. So you've just got to hope, really, that he does with time, to be honest, that I feel like he will. I think he will. I think I've seen enough from him when he has played well in games to know that there is a decent enough player in there, certainly for the standard that we're at just now. So I'm not too worried about Starfelt. I think it is still early days, but certainly in terms of areas for improvement, I know we'll come on to obviously the signings that are meant to be getting finalised over the next couple of days, but I think left back now has to definitely be the priority, depending obviously on outgoings as well. But I just think that we need a far better technical option at left back, especially to play the way that Ange wants to play.
See, the interesting thing is we've not been linked to any left backs for ages. It's right backs all the time. If it's Celtic getting linked to a player, it's a right back. Literally nearly every day, or every week really, there's been a right back we've been linked to. And it's just weird that, I don't know, maybe Ange's satisfied with Taylor. Because, I mean, as you say, he does just ridiculous amounts of running. He does, like, I know that Ange wants his fullbacks to work very hard. And maybe he's happy with how he's playing. And I think the last left-back we really got linked to was Aaron Hickey. And that was weeks and weeks ago now, and that went quiet. So, I mean, unless we try and sign him in the next week and a half, transfer window shuts in the 31st of August, which is less than 2 weeks away, I don't know if we'll sign a left-back. I think we'll, I don't know, maybe we'll try and promote one for the youths. I don't know, maybe we'll try something like that, I'm not sure. But, no, I think for now, Taylor has got that jersey, and just hopefully he keeps trying his best, and maybe he'll prove us all wrong by scoring the winner in the next three games. You never know. What are your feelings about the second leg, which will be taking place around about this time next week? I think it's a 7:15 kickoff. Do you think the EZ will come out is all guns blazing and that might suit us? Like, we can play the passes through to Kyogo. But we were trying against Dundee, I remember. We kept trying to... No, we were trying against Jablonic. We kept trying to pass that through ball to Kyogo to beat you offside track. And I don't know, maybe we could be doing that. That's a tactic. Maybe we can do more away games.
I'd be a lot more confident, obviously, if we'd got that third goal when the keeper made a couple of pretty astonishing saves towards the end for Edward and Montgomery. So I'd be saying, to be honest, tie over after that, even though we know what we're like away from home in these qualifiers. But that's the only worry, really, for me, is historically how we tend to perform in these games. Because I've seen enough over the last few weeks to know that we are capable of going over there and getting the job done. One thing we need to do, obviously, is avoid losing an early goal. And like you said, I think AZ will have to come out and play. I mean, they came out and played last night, even away from home. So I'd imagine the home tie, 2-0 down as well, knowing that they need to come out and attack, that they will. And as you say, that leaves space for us to exploit, because you see it on the transition. When we're going from defence to attack, I mean, we're brilliant. You know, and you've got Kyogo making those runs in behind, trying to beat the offside trap, and you've got Turnbull, Rogic all showing for it there. You've got Abada, Forrest as well, who are all getting forward. So I think there's options, or there's going to be chances for us to hit them on the counter-attack if they do come out all guns blazing, which I don't really think they've got much of a choice. So they'll have to, won't they, to try and make up that deficit.
It wouldn't surprise me if we decided to just go toe-to-toe with them, because I don't think, like, sitting back in the defence is the mindset that Ange's got. I just kind of see him thinking, right, let's keep it cagey for the first, like, 20, 25 minutes, and then we'll start hitting them. I think Ange will be thinking, let's try and get an early goal right away and finish the tie. But no, it's a big test, and the next week's going to be massive for Celtic, but we'll talk about that a bit more later. So now let's go to the all-singing, all-dancing transfer section. And we have had a bid accepted for a right-back, and Vala Bazali is actually playing right now. It's Josip Juranovic, who plays for Legia Warsaw. And they are in the Europa League qualifiers, same as us. And they're beating Slavia Prague even 1-0. And he's playing there now. But I think he's going to fly to Glasgow tomorrow and complete the transfer. So we didn't just be typical Celtic if we get some dodge injury night and we had to cancel it. He's actually playing with Arthur Boric, who's Legia's captain. There you go. I didn't realise that. But no, that is interesting, because we've been crying out for a right back for ages. Now we're signing one, and I don't think he's guaranteed to be first choice. Interesting times.
Yes, yeah, it's a couple of players we've done that with now, by the way. I remember we done it with Kyogo, and apparently I think the boy Scales as well is meant to be playing for Shamrock Rovers tonight, isn't he? So it's quite a few players we've let do that now. So we're obviously pretty confident there. Tempting fate, I would call it, to be honest. But that's just me. But no, I mean, like, either way, regardless of Tony Ralston's recent performances, we do still need reinforcements in that position. We've only got him there, really. He's only recognised right back at the club just now, and we were on here, obviously, myself and Stevie, I remember, around the times of the Michelin games, saying it was a disgrace, and that was the only recognised right back we had at the football club going into sort of those ties, but I suppose better late than never. We look to finally be getting another option in there at right back, as we were saying. I don't think it will go straight into the team, but no, it from certainly for the clips I've seen of him anyway, it looks to be a good prospect for us there.
We have actually got a right back, Leo Connor, but he's never played for us. He was on was at Tranmere last year. He's on loan. He's never played the first team game for us. So I know he was a good prospect at Man U, but if he didn't get a game like at the start of the season when we were desperate, then I don't really think he's going to get a game now. No, so that's an interesting one about Juranovic, and hopefully the deal gets completed soon. And then the other one, this is a weird one, I think. We've been linked with Georgios Giakoumakis, and I'm not saying that again. I'll just call him the Greek fella. Georgios Giakoumakis. It was easier when we had Sammy. He played for VVV Venlo in the Dutch league last season, and now they get relegated. But he was the top scorer in the league, which is a bit odd, really, when you think about it. Like, I don't know what that says much for the Dutch league when the top scorers were a team that gets relegated. And there was a report earlier that would agreed a fee with Venlo, but I've just saw that hasn't happened yet, that were in talks with him. And I seen a clip earlier that he was actually at Werder Bremen last night, because they're interested in him as well. And it says that he's apparently spoke to Ange and apparently wants 11 and a half grand a week. But then Werder Bremen have been relegated as well. They're in the second Bundesliga. So, I'm not sure. I mean, I think this signing would be a gamble. I mean, obviously it was a gamble buying Kyogo, but his team didn't get relegated last season. This guy's team got relegated last season. And I know the Dutch league's probably 50 to 100 times better than the Scottish league, apart from AZ, of course, who couldn't live with us. But no, I think this would be a gamble, because I was looking at his stats, and this is real. Last season was really the first season that he's like been a top goal scorer. It's not like he's been prolific every season. And I would think that if this guy does sign, then that would for sure be Eddie getting sold, because we've got that many strikers. Like, if this guy signs, we'll have Eddie, Kyogo, Ajeti and Griffiths. I know they too hardly ever play, and I don't think they'll really be in much consideration this year. Well, I don't think Griffiths will anyway, but I don't know. What do you make of this one? I think this signing would definitely be a gamble.
I mean, you see it on paper, obviously, and go top scorer in the Dutch league last season. He must be some player. But looking at his career, I think he's 26 now, and I think that was maybe only the second time in his career he'd actually get into double figures in a season. So, and I think it was the first time he'd got over 20 as well. So it's a bit of an unusual one, looking at his record. I don't know if we will end up signing him, obviously. I know Werder Bremen are interested, and I was reading something about, I think, the way they're structuring the deal or whatever is more cash for VVV Venlo up front. So I don't know if that will maybe tempt them to sell to Bremen rather than us, but it's a bit of a strange one, certainly. Obviously, if a boy comes in, listen, we'll get behind him and give him every bit of support, you know, and want him to succeed. But certainly looking at it a bit deeper than just top scorer in the Dutch league last season, it is a bit of a strange one, certainly.
I mean, I'm not really sure if it'll happen, because I don't really think, unless Eddie leaves, we're absolutely desperate for a striker. I seen that Crystal Palace were linked to him the other day. I seen another thing that, like, he's won 80 grand a week, apparently, and that priced out Southampton. They bought an Alan Armstrong guy in Brighton as well. So, I mean, if Eddie keeps playing later against Hearts, then I'd be happy with him staying, but Celtic can't afford to lose him for nothing at the end of the season. That would just be bad business. We can't do that again. You mentioned Liam Scales earlier, who's a Shamrock Rovers centre-back, who we've been linked with. Apparently, after they're playing actually Flora of Estonia, they're in the losing 3-1. So there you go. So I'm not sure if he's having a great night there, but I mean, I don't know if this guy would be no disrespect to our green and white cousins, Shamrock Rovers, who wear the same strip as us, but I'm not sure if, like, he'd be a first choice guy. I'd have my doubts. I think he'd probably be a squad player. Apparently, Southampton were interested in him as well, so I know he must have a pedigree, and be interesting to see if that deal gets done, or we'll have to wait until next week after the second leg. So I think there will be more signings. There has to be more signings before the end of the transfer window. And I think Juranovic will definitely be a signing. And I think Scales is like 70%, I'd say. But I'm not sure about the Greek guy. I'm just not sure. Right, that seems like a bit of a gamble too far to me. Maybe if he signs, he'll prove us all wrong and him and Kyogo will be this superb partnership. But no, do you think that anybody major will leave us before the window shuts? Maybe apart from Edward. What do you think about Christie? It's been very quiet in the Christie front since he's been injured. I mean, there's not even been any rumours or anything. His contract runs out, I think, in January. What do you think will happen with Christie? I would hope he stays because he was brilliant against Dundee. But then when you think about it, we didn't really miss him last night. I thought Abada was excellent at times, and I thought Forrest played well as well. So what's your mating in Christie? Do you think he'll end up leaving and joining all his pals and the bright lights of the Premier League?
I think he's a player you prefer to keep, obviously. I think we still look capable without him. We do still have, you know, options in attack. But I think if you're able to hold on to him, you do everything you can to keep a hold of him. Even if it is just maybe one of those kind of Armstrong situations, remember after the Invincible Treble season, where you maybe just get him to sign another year or another year and a half, I suppose, in that circumstance, just to get a bit of money for him at the end of it. But I certainly think that I think there'll be at least one big exit. I think it probably will be Edward, and I think that's obviously why we're looking to get another striker in, albeit I don't think Ajeti or Griffiths especially will be anywhere near this team this season by the looks of things. But I'm interested to see, to be honest, if there is any big departures. I think other than Edward, I think we might keep a hold of Christie. I'm quietly confident that we can at least hold on to him maybe for this season. If we could, as I say, get him on one of the kind of Armstrong contracts where it's a, you know, you can go at the end of it or whatever kind of deal. But it's certainly been a bit more quiet in the Christie front recently. But I think other than Edward, I don't expect any other major outgoings. But that's famous last words there from me.
Incredibly enough, Josip Juranovic had just scored for Legia. They've beaten Slavia Prague 2-1. So there you go. Maybe that'll be him thrown down the gauntlet to Anthony Ralston. I want that right back slot. That was unexpected, to say the least. But no, I mean, I think there will be a lot of stories in the next like 10 to 14 days, whenever the window shuts, for when it is now, like the 31st. I think there will be a lot of speculation, and we'll just need to wait and see what happens. But I tend to agree with you. I think that the one major departure will be Eddie, and we'll talk about that on the pod when it happens. But that'd be a shame because he's been a very good player for us, but I think it was always inevitable that was going to happen. Right, so we'll now do a quick preview of our next game as the Ange train hopefully keeps on the tracks as we take on St Mirren, a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday, which a game which I'll be attending. Lucky me, the first Celtic game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday I've been to in ages and ages. And will you be attending at Spunkphone, or are you missing this one?
I will be there.
Sensational. We could have an emotional acknowledgement for across the road to each other. A tip of the hat or something. We'll talk about that off air. But no, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I was at the Jablonen game last week, the return, the fans return. It was a great atmosphere. I think there'll be more fans at the game on Saturday because they'll start to sell tickets again for the main stand. And no, I think everybody will be hyped up for this game. Everybody wants to see Celtic now, and I'm confident that we'll maybe no turn in like a 6-0 job, but I'm confident we'll get the job done to get 3 points and put pressure on Rangers, who aren't playing until Sunday this weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm very confident going into that game as well. I think with the football we're playing at the moment, and I don't think St Mirren have had the best start to the season either, have they? So I'm pretty confident going into that game. I think we probably could do another Dundee to them potentially, where we do blow them away. I know there was a bit of talk on social media anyway last night, you know, Jerest maybe, certain players, but I think a lot of them are probably still building up their fitness, so I think another game under their belt won't do them any harm. But if you can, for example, get the game won in the first sort of hour or so, done and dusted 3 or 4-0 up, then I think that would be ideal going into Thursday night against Alkmaar. But no, I'm fully confident that we'll win comfortably at the weekend. I can't see anything else, to be honest with you.
I'd agree. I'd imagine we'll get a win now. This is unbelievable. Yet more breaking news. Liam Scales has scored for Shamrock Rovers. Two Celtic transfer targets, both playing during this Gigpo extravaganza on the beef score. What are the chances of that? Very slim, I'd say. But no, I mean, the Celtic train keeps on going. We're doing well the new, and we've got big tests to come. But no, after the start we had a few weeks ago, I'd say that everybody should just be reasonably happy. The new content with what they're seeing. And Spunk Phone, thanks very much for joining us this week.
Pleasure as always, John. See you on Saturday.
I'll see you on Saturday, aye. Right, so time for a quick plug here. Support for GigPod is brought to you by Swiss Movement. Quality watches at affordable prices. Check out their website at www.swissmovement.co and get 10% off all watches with the code GIGPOD88. That's all in capitals. So that's www.swissmovement.co. Get 10% off all watches with the code GIGPOD88. Thanks to them for sponsoring the podcast. You can leave us the usual 5 stars on the usual places, Apple Podcasts, all the different platforms. Leave us more of those good reviews that Steve's been sending me sometimes. They're always a treat to read. And we'll be back on Sunday after the St Mirren game, and we're going to have special guest Anthony for Four Tims in a podcast with us. So there's something for everybody to look forward to. And then I'm sure we'll have a AZ away Rangers extravaganza towards the end of next week as well. And God knows what's going to happen. I'm sure Stevie will come up with some superb plan. He'll tell me later. So, thanks very much, Spunk Phone.
Thanks very much, John.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. And hail, hail.
Podcast Network.